As we kneel before our risen Lord, our King and our Savior, the sense that Jesus is in asking us to bring to Him what is dead in our life. That situation, that relationship, that difficulty in which you feel dead. Because Jesus reigns here with us and wants to bring life to it. So I want you to imagine before your eyes now, just you handing over a relationship, the situation, the circumstance, this insurmountable problem that you have, and just bring it to Jesus. Jesus, this is yours. Jesus, I submit it to you. I let go of it. And for some of us, that means letting go of control and letting go of fear. So, Lord Jesus, I even let go of that fear and that control. Lord, I surrender trying to make myself good. I surrender to you trying to make myself holy. I surrender trying to take care of myself. And I give myself totally to you right now. Lord Jesus, we praise you and we thank you for revealing to us the Father, for revealing to us the goodness, the providence, the mercy of the one who sent you. And Lord, we ask that you give us an increase of faith, an increase of hope, an increase of love, so that we might live surrendered lives to you. We might be your disciples. And you might reign in us as Lord. And so, Lord, we ask that you give us the power of the Holy Spirit, that you speak to us tonight. We give you permission to do whatever you want, because without you, we can do nothing. But with you, we can do great things. Because you live within us. So Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Please stand for the gospel. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabuni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you. It's Easter. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Sometimes think that Christians need to have a Mary of Magdala moment with Jesus, the risen Lord, in order for them to truly recognize what has happened on this amazing day. Today, as we celebrate the resurrection, we celebrate the fact that our God is so madly in love with us that he takes all of our sin upon himself. We who were unworthy of life itself, so that he who is life itself could bring us that life once more. We have this extraordinary truth, this extraordinary gospel, which ought to change our life. And yet many of us, for whatever reason, are still weeping at the tomb. For whatever reason, many of us are still weeping at the tomb because we do not know the risen Lord in his glory. And that's a good kind of weeping, because Mary Magdalene's weeping at the tomb because she knows that Jesus is her master. He's the one that set her free from demons. He's the one that taught her what life was about. He was the one that she wanted to live with the rest of her life. And when he died, she was totally bereft. She was weeping because she missed him. That's a good type of weeping. In the interior life, all of us are going to have situations in which we feel as if Jesus is gone, as if he's left us. That's a godly weeping, because that weeping of love will ultimately turn into the resurrection power. It will turn into an encounter with Jesus. And one of the things that we have to remember is that if we're not consistent in going to the places of death in our life, the places where Jesus calls us to let go of all control, to let go of all pride, to let go of all of our sin, if we're not willing to go to those places of death in our life, we will not have the power of the resurrection in our life. And so Mary is weeping at the tomb. She's pouring her heart out. All she wanted to do was take the body of Jesus. She wanted to embalm it. She wanted to express love to him who seemed completely dead to her. That's what she wanted. And as she's weeping at the tomb, Jesus comes and he asks a question that seems absolutely ridiculous. Woman, why are you weeping? Jesus knows why she's weeping. She's weeping because she misses him. She wants to be with him. She wants an encounter with him once more. But he asks her to draw out her desire. Woman, why are you weeping? If you've taken the body, just give them to me. And Jesus says, whom are you looking for? She's looking for him. Why do I say all of this? Because I believe as Christians, it is precisely when we press into the presence of the risen Lord, when we don't recognize him, that he reveals himself to us. It's precisely in those areas of darkness, of pain, of having to be separated from a particular way of loving Jesus that we actually enter into that next step where he reveals himself to us in a new way. Mary was looking right at Jesus and speaking to him, and she didn't even know it. A lot of us in our darkness and our difficulty are speaking right to Jesus, and we don't even know it. When we're weeping, when we're looking for him, when we find him very difficult to find and to encounter, we're speaking right to him. And as we do that, we will often come to a point where Jesus speaks our name. What does he say to her? All he says is one thing, Mary. It doesn't say that his face changed. It doesn't say that somehow he was transfigured before her. It doesn't say that some amazing, crazy event happened where she couldn't deny her physical senses. She hears him call her name. She knows that she's intimately loved because it's the same one who called her in the first place. It's that name, that personal love that he has for her, and she experiences that once more, that joy of being known by him. And I really believe as Christians, we need to put ourselves in position constantly to hear God say our name. And sometimes we need to be bold. Lord, I believe that you're alive. This is a part of what I believe. I believe that you are risen from the dead. But Lord, right now, I am filled with sorrow. I need you to speak my name. Lord, show me your love once more. There's no shame in that. That desire comes out of humility, and it comes out of a yearning for an encounter with our risen Lord. Mary. She immediately says, Rabboni, which means teacher. She immediately cries out to him, and you know there must have been a deep, powerful embrace between Mary and Jesus. So much he's like, oh, wait, like, stop holding on to me, okay? You can stop now. It's a little intense, all right? Like, you can just stop, you know? There must have been this incredible moment where she knows that the one that she's looking for has been found and he has found her. There must have been this amazing encounter with the risen Lord such that she wanted to hold on to him. And so he says, stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, which indicates to John's readers that the form of the resurrected Christ in the church has not yet come to the church, that the resurrection is a prelude to what God wants to do in the future. But he says something very important to Mary. Go and tell my brothers that I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. What is he essentially announcing to Mary? What he's essentially announcing to her is saying, the very thing that could separate me from you, the only thing that could separate me from you, that is sin and death, has now been overcome, and I have reconciled everyone to my Father in such a way that I'm one with you in a new way. He's saying to her, do you realize what I have done? Go and tell my brothers that I am alive. And because I'm alive, I am now one with you. I'm a brother with you. God is your Father in the same way that he's my Father. And it's one of the greatest gifts we've been given as Christians is sharing the filial relationship that Jesus has with the Father. That because Jesus is alive, we can know God as Papa, as God, as our Father, who provides everything that we need. That because Jesus is alive and he shares with us this relationship, there is nothing that can come against us that should cause us discouragement. Nothing. There is no trial in your life. There is no suffering that you have undergone or will go through that can conquer you. Because God is your Father. And God is your Father, not because you deserve it, not because you're made worthy, that you're worthy of it. It's because he has made you worthy. It is his suffering, his death, and his love which changes us. And oftentimes we don't realize that until we hear the Father say to us, or Jesus say to us, John, Agnes, Sarah. Until he says our name, and then we realize, God is my Father. Go and tell everyone. And what does Mary do? She becomes the first post-resurrection evangelist. She went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and reported what he had told her. Unless we hear the voice of Jesus telling us who we are as beloved sons and daughters of the Father, unless we encounter him speak our name, we will not be able to reach out to the culture that doesn't even believe that God is good. Because that really is the gospel. God is good. He's not against us. He's for us. God is love. And he shows us who he is by revealing us to us himself on the cross. And he comes to be with us in the Eucharist. That is the gospel. But how can we convince an unbelieving world about that if we don't even know the Lord in our own life? And so we need to continually approach those dead places in our life and look for Jesus there. Because that's where he wants to give you life. I came to understand that last week, my friend Father Steve Mattson, last month, we were speaking at Awaken. How many of you were here last month, Father Steve Mattson? How many of you weren't here? Okay, that's more like it. So Father Steve talks about, what he talked about is something that I've been talking to him for a couple of years. He talked about inner healing, this interior healing, and that the way that we come to understand the resurrected love of Jesus is that we are absolutely fearlessly bold in going to the places that we don't want to go to with Jesus. We hold nothing back. We're all in. We say, Lord, I don't care what it takes. I want renewal. I want revival. I want a complete change in my life at all cost. And that means going to the place of fear. And that's something that we don't like to go to. Because somehow we've come to believe that if we are feeling afraid, we're feeling insecure, somehow we think if we're feeling all sorts of lack of comfort, that we must not be doing something right in the spiritual life. It's actually precisely the opposite. It's when you're praying and these things are coming up, God is saying, right there, that's where I want to love you. Jesus meets Mary in her pain, does he not? He meets her at the depth of her heart where she is just totally bereft of any hope. Jesus was her hope. She's in the midst of the worst dark night possible. And what happens? Jesus approaches her and he comes and speaks her name and reveals to her the resurrected power. And it changes her life. And she becomes an evangelist because of it. The way for you to know the resurrection of Jesus is for you to be bold in the places of weakness and pain and brokenness, fear, shame, just name it. The reason why this is so important is because it's the paradox of the gospel. In our weakness, Jesus becomes strong. In our poverty, he becomes strong. In our poverty, he becomes our riches. In our darkness, he becomes light. And it's precisely in the areas of death in our life that Jesus reveals his resurrection power. So I said to you that Jesus says, I am going to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God, which means he's talking about the ascension. Why does Jesus ascend into heaven? I mean, wouldn't it be better if we just had Jesus walking on the earth? And we can like look at him and learn from him. We could sit at his feet. I mean, like, why would we want to have Jesus leave us? That doesn't make any sense. I like the interactive crowd. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in many people's mind, is just kind of a nice little thing that kind of makes our theology whole. You know, like, well, we need the Holy Spirit in order for us to actually, you know, have some of these other things. But no, Jesus is saying, like, he'll say later in the gospel, early in the gospel, it is better that I go. It's better that Jesus goes. Why? Because Jesus is so one with us, he wants to live within us. And if Jesus lives within us and his church becomes his body, then we become the very people that radiate Jesus's life to the whole world. We radiate the power of the resurrection. And for whatever reason, this isn't a very strong emphasis in a lot of church teaching, preaching. This is a very strong emphasis in the church's teaching. But we don't often hear about living a resurrected life. And why is that? Because the kingdom of God has come, but it's not fully here. So when Jesus was preaching the gospel, he said the kingdom of God is at hand. He doesn't say the fullness of the kingdom is here. So we're still going to suffer sickness, death, pain, rejection, abandonment, you name it. We're going to suffer that because no disciple is greater than his master. But we do not weep as those who have no hope. We know the end of the story. We know that if we who live the very life of Jesus are going to rise again because the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We know that's the truth. But a lot of us have not tasted that type of freedom in the spiritual life. And it's that type of freedom that God wants for every single one of you. We need to have an encounter with Jesus. We need to allow him to speak our name. And that first begins with believing that he can speak your name and he wants to. You don't have to be a mystic, a saint, to hear God speak to you. Do you know that? Do you know that God can speak to any of you right now? Let me put it another different way. You know that God is speaking to you right now. It's not just because I'm speaking. God is constantly trying to communicate to us because he is a good father. It would make no sense for God to set us free by the power or by the life of his own son, to set us free from sin and death, for us to say, okay, go your way. Just go your way. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. That doesn't make any sense. And what we're finding is that people who step out in faith and ask the Father to give them a greater ability to hear his voice are able to hear his voice, not just for themselves, but for others. That he wants to unlock the power of his resurrection in this world. Why? So that the world might know that Jesus is alive. That's why he does it. One way that he does this often is through charisms. The church teaches, as dogmatic teaching of the church, that every single faithful receives charisms at their baptism for the building up of the church and the world. They're not optional. In fact, according to the Second Vatican Council, they're essential for evangelization. The laity have a right and a duty to use their charisms. If that's true, you cannot reduce the exercise of the charisms to a mere spirituality. The whole body of Christ needs to become alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. Why is this important? Because charisms are nothing other than the life of the risen Jesus in us manifested for the sake of the world to know that Jesus is alive. And this is what happens in the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, after Jesus goes up and ascends into heaven, what does Jesus do? He baptizes the church in the Holy Spirit so that the church can continue the very mission that he received from the Father. This is good Trinitarian theology. The church is alive with the Spirit of Jesus. Put another way, the risen Jesus is present to the church in the church's preaching. And so God wants to manifest his risen glory to an unbelieving world that they might come to know that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Christ. And therefore we have hope. And this is the primary reason why I think it's important and it's critical that we do what we can to say, God, I want you to do whatever you want in my life. I know you want to manifest your risen life through me. It's critical that we have faith that God wants to manifest his risen life through us. Because if we don't have faith that he's going to do that, guess what? We're not actually going to step out in faith so that he can. And one of the things that Father Steve was talking about is he talks about this ministry of healing as if some sort of have like some official ministry. No, I just like praying for people. And God likes healing people, which is pretty cool. But it's happening with pretty much anybody that steps out in prayer or seeing the same type of thing happen. And when people who do not believe that Jesus is even real see the effects of the risen Jesus being present, their entire approach to Jesus changes. I've told some of you guys the story. I'm gonna say it again. I know some of you guys were at the seminar. I told the story. I was at a restaurant about maybe 15 miles from here, and I was actually with some benefactors of the seminary, and we were talking about what God has been doing in the church, how God is really like, he's manifesting healing in so many different ways, and he's just like blowing people away. And we walk into the restaurant, and there's this woman pushing a chair around the restaurant, and she's like leaning up against the chair. She was in excruciating pain. And so she was the hostess, so she's showing us our table, and she's kind of walking. I'm like, oh, like, what'd you do? you know, and like, what happened, you know? And so she started telling us that she has, she's playing with her grandchildren, and like, and she just had all this shin splints, all these pain, and she was very, very sore, could barely walk. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And I did what everyone else likes to do and what we all do. We just started to hear that. See you later. We want to eat our dinner. No, no. So I just, see you later, whatever. And we were talking about the Lord and what the Lord's doing and everything. And I just was overcome with compassion. We're talking about Jesus coming in power, manifesting his resurrected love. And she walks by again. And I just said, excuse me. You look like you're in a lot of pain. Can we pray for you? I just have a sense that God wants to heal you. And she's like, well, who are you? Who are you? I said, well, I mean, we're just Christians. We believe that God, so it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I'm Jewish. I don't even believe in Jesus. It's not going to work. And I said, well, I mean, come on. We've seen people that don't even believe in Jesus healed. And she's like, no, no. She's like, she's kind of like going, and I just, for some reason, got super bold. I said, what's the worst that can happen? She's like, what do you mean? She got like all defense, like, what do you mean? What's the worst that can happen if we pray for you? She's like, you're not healed. That's the worst that can happen. But I want you to know that there are Christians here who see you suffering and know someone that can do something about it. So can you let us pray for you? She's like, I need to ask my boss. And I said, I looked at her, I was just one of those, I looked at her and said, why? What does your boss have to do with this? She's like, I mean, like, she's like getting all insecure. She's holding onto the chair, like the table, right? I said, look, you don't have to ask your boss. This will take 15 seconds. And I'm like, why did I just say that? I'm like, no, take the words out of my mouth, 15 seconds. So I said, she's like, what do you do? I said, right now, put your hands on the table. And so I put her hands on the table. She doesn't believe in Jesus. She doesn't think it's going to work. I don't care because I know Jesus is alive, right? So I said, I'm just going to place my hand on your shoulder. She placed her hand on the table. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for so-and-so. I thank you for loving her and saving her from her sin on the cross. I ask, Lord, that you manifest your love to her right now. Come into her knees in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I command you knees to be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. That was literally the prayer. I said, amen, we're done. She's like, what? I said, walk. Test it out. So what does she do? So she walks, she's like this. This is hilarious. She walks away like this. She's like, who are you? What is this? Now, just so you guys know, I was not wearing my clerics because I'm super liberal. No, I wasn't wearing my clerics because I was on my day off. I didn't think anything of it. So she's like, who are you? I said, I'm a Christian and Jesus Christ is alive and he lives within me. He is the long-awaited Messiah. He's the Son of God and he has a plan for your life. And as I started sharing this, God was giving me revelation about what the suffering she was going through. And she had all this like pain. And I said, and God knows about this and this and this that has happened in her life. She was completely blown. She's like, I don't even believe in Jesus. I don't know what's going on. And she's like testing her knees. She's like, and I said, it doesn't matter if you don't believe in Jesus because he believes in you. You're infinitely loved by him. She literally could not do anything. Okay. So it was crazy awesome. So the reason why I tell you this story is for one reason. It is precisely when we know the resurrected love of Jesus that we have the courage and the confidence to do what we can to manifest his love to others. Healing is, those type of things are just one small part of it. It means reaching out to people in love and sharing a word that God is prompting on your heart. It means forming relationships with people that might seem totally far away from Jesus. It means entering into people's suffering so that they might come to know who God is. That's what this is all about. And I'll just say one thing. Steve said, maybe say something about the documentary. I know the red light's on. It's like Sesame Street or something. I just had the red light. they turned it off. I'm sorry. So the documentary coming out tomorrow. www.fearlessdocumentary.net. Fearlessdocumentary.net. Dr. Ralph Martin, Dr. Mary Healy, myself, and some of my friends from Columbus, they have us talking about the power of the Holy Spirit in evangelization. And they filmed a healing service that I did. All these people were healed. There was a Jew at that service who actually professed faith in Jesus because he could not withstand the undeniable miracles happening right in front of him. Okay, so Jesus is doing great things in the church. The question is, will you give yourself to Jesus in such a radical way in the midst of your brokenness, your darkness, your shame, and your fear so that Jesus can speak to you? Because if you allow Jesus to speak to you, you will become like Mary and become the evangelist that he wants you to be. You will declare to the world that God is our Father, that in Jesus we have been reconciled to him, and that there is no sin or death that can conquer us. Love wins. And if we're able to do that, don't be surprised if charisms just start manifesting in your life, because charisms are meant for love and evangelization. If you're not evangelizing, don't expect them to manifest. Amen? Amen. Bow your heads. I want to pray. I want you to just ask the Holy Spirit to come right now. Just repeat after me. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I give you permission to reveal to me all the places that I am holding back from you. And just let him reveal it. As Jesus reveals things in your heart right now, I want you just one by one to say, Jesus, this is yours. Jesus, this is yours. Just under your breath, just surrender it. Just saying, Jesus, this is yours. As he reveals the places that you're holding back from him, so Jesus, this is yours. Just one by one. Thank you, Lord, for revealing this to us. Thank you, Lord. I want to repeat one prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I surrender my whole life to you. I give you all control, all fear. Do with me what you will. I long to know you more deeply so that I may proclaim your love to those who need you the most. Amen.